This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader and who's here with me today. What do you know, Brother Ben?
I don't know a lot, but what I do know, I talk about.
What we'll talk about today is an article that appeared in the Chicago Reader on December 8th, 2011. In the print version, it's titled, How Clout Raised an Uptown TIF Deal from the Dead. And online, it's titled, Dawn of the Deal. This article talks about the fact that Northside residents had seemed to have defeated development plans for a tax increment financing district called the Montrose-Clarendon District, which you and I talked about in our June 16th interview from this year.
I remember it well.
Today's article talks about renewed development plans for the district, a major feature of which is the vacant Columbus Maryville Emergency Shelter.
Is that what it's called?
It is called that, yeah.
Okay.
Here in front of me, I happen to have a map of the Montrose-Clarendon TIF district.
And what a lovely district
it is. It's pretty small, isn't it? It's only, what, one, two, three,
well,
four blocks?
Well, as TIF districts go, it's big enough in terms of our pocketbook, but yes. Point well taken, Senator.
Hugging the west side of Lakeshore Drive there.
That notoriously slum area known as North Lakeshore Drive, which is just dire need of city subsidies, because without city subsidies, who would develop in the richest part of town?
Well, you argue that this is prime real estate.
Yes, sir. I'd make that argument correctly.
And that if a developer can't develop it without a handout, they should get out of the game.
I said that, didn't I? Yes.
If this is, in fact, prime real estate,
yes,
they're
sir.
Hugging Lakeshore Drive,
yes.
Right next to Lincoln Park.
North Lakeshore Drive, yes.
How does it qualify as a tax increment financing district?
Because the tax increment financing districts are so chock full of loopholes, as we've said many times, that virtually any area could fit the qualification. I haven't written about this yet, but in today's newspapers, today being Friday, December 9th, there are articles about much rejoicing on the part of Mayor Rahm Emanuel because he used TIF financing to bring a Sara Lee company to Chicago. I will be writing about this later. Why do I raise this, young man? Because the mayor of the suburban town that Sara Lee left, in part enticed by Mayor Rahm's offer of $6 million.
Which town is it?
Downers Grove.
Okay.
Downers Grove mayor fired back, suggesting Emanuel had better watch his step. I am reading from today's Tribunal. Quote, he should be considering my willingness to use incentives to attract companies from the city of Chicago, the mayor of Downers Grove said. Presumably, they will come up with their own TIF district to lure companies from Chicago out to Downers Grove. Why anybody would want to go to Downers Grove is a whole other issue, but I guess if you give them enough money, they would. So the point is, everything in the state of Illinois qualifies pretty much. There's TIF districts, I believe, in Highland Park. There was Eden's Plaza was redone with the TIF district. That's just west of Wilmette.
Another blighted area.
And isn't there a TIF district in Lake Forest? Don't quote me on that. But the point is, the loopholes in the law make it possible to apply a TIF district anywhere, which is why this law should be changed, amended, eradicated.
Well, I got a little curious about the origins of this district, which was created in 2010. So it's going to be with us for quite a while.
Lucky us.
Unless it's rescinded. And I went to the city's website to look at the redevelopment plan, which the now Department of Housing and Community Development, formerly the Department of Community Development.
I prefer to call it the Department of Planning. I'm old. Just call me old school, Dave.
The legacy name.
Yes, legacy name. Correct.
Anyway, they created this redevelopment report that talks about what's planned for this area. And in that report is something called the eligibility report. And the ostensible reason for that report is to say why this area is eligible for tax increment financing due to its blighted nature.
Yeah. What nuggets of information did
you
find? I have
the report right here.
Yeah.
And it has a bunch of criteria, which they call, there are things like dilapidation, vacancy, obsolescence is another criterion. And it kind of goes through each of these criteria. The writer of this report, which was the Laub Consulting Group, which I've learned is a registered Chicago lobbyist, found dilapidation and obsolescence and other sort of blighted things. Just let me read a couple of these.
Go ahead. We can put everybody to sleep reading a TIF report.
Well, it looked at this vacant emergency shelter and said the load-bearing walls along the exterior are missing bricks in places that you can see the structure. They're cracked. They went and looked at a road salt storage and delivery facility, mm-hmm. which has poor access and ingress into Marine Drive, necessitates truck stacking. So that's, you know, that's problematic.
yeah.
You know, have you seen truck stacking?
I know.
It's problematic.
Because I think there was a porno movie called Truck Stacking.
You saw that, right?
Yeah, I downloaded it the other day.
Yeah. It also found a great deal of deterioration, chipping paint on the windows, foundational
paint.
Slab was cracking.
Are you sure you're not talking about my garage?
It also looked at the park. Because there's, you know,
there is a
big
park.
Old park
it's
over
Lincoln
there.
Park, yeah. Yes.
The building on the park exhibits numerous structural cracks, missing tuck pointing in many places,
yeah.
have holes, missing bricks, major cracking in exterior masonry, water damage under the overhangs and columns.
Yeah.
Excessive vacancies. Mm. Well, of course, it's an unoccupied building.
Yes.
So based on the criteria for blightedness,
right.
all these things seem to add up to blight. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, sure. But it's not blight that necessitates a $31 million handout.
Well, if someone was going to develop it, why wouldn't they have developed it by now?
Well, the hospital just closed. One of the many problems with TIFs. There's so many. Where do we begin? Here you had, it was a hospital, then it became, what did you say, a care facility,
emergency
shelter. It closed. So you have institutional property right on top of the North Lakefront that closes. So they never even gave a chance and our opportunity to see what would happen if the free market prevailed. Aren't we a free market town, the University of Chicago and all that? Libertarians rule, Milton Friedman?
I just want to say tangentially that I think we've discussed before that if we were to design our perfect sort of tax increment financing district, districts would in fact be only about a block in circumference.
If we were to create a perfect TIF district, we would go where you absolutely positively have to have a TIF
district. I don't mean
district.
Where to perfectly site the district, but I mean the size of them. Because
right
now they're huge and you could have development in one area, but it sucks the property taxes out of the rest of the area.
This area would suck more property taxes than this one development would take. Again, there's so many problems with TIFs in general, one of which is this particular project, they've cut it. Originally, they were asking for $50 million. Now they're only asking for $31 million. That TIF will exist for another, 20 years or so. So there will be much more money being sucked into this TIF district away from schools, parks, et cetera, et cetera. So if we're going back to the perfect model, if Ben were running TIF district's model, then the city of Chicago would say to the developer, okay, first of all, establish that but for a subsidy from us, this land cannot be developed. Please explain why this land cannot be developed. And then if they were to pass that test, which is not apparently a hard test to pass since it's never really enforced, then how much money do you need? And they would say, well, we absolutely positively need $5 million, let's say. We cannot do this without $5 million. Then you create a TIF deal that gives them only $5 million. And perhaps you charge them interest. I mean, it's a loan. Effectively, this is a loan. What bank in the world do you go in and go, I just want a loan, okay? Just give me the money. So presumably you would work some interest into the deal as all. But this isn't how this happens. What they do is they create a TIF district and a developer drops in from Mars, cuts a deal to option the land and says, I need $50 million to do this. If we weren't at that peculiar stage in Chicago's political history where we were sort of like in the very beginning moments of the Rahm Emanuel reform administration, he probably would have gotten the money. But I was at a peculiar stage where the city of Chicago was a little hesitant to greenlight these projects. And so they were essentially turned down thanks to overwhelming opposition of the locals. This area was never left alone just to see what development it would get without a TIF handout. I do tease my free market libertarian friends, but it's a point that if there were any in Chicago who were looking at local things, they would be saying, yes, you are stepping into the marketplace.
Intervening.
You're intervening in the marketplace in a way that distorts it. And so we don't know what the real value of this land is. We don't know what could go there. So, Dave, the notion that it's blighted just because the report tells you it's blighted is like saying, well, Ben should get a TIF because my garage is blighted. My garage is as blighted as that hospital is.
Well, it strikes me that one could game this system pretty easily. You could take a property, kick out the tenants, and then let it sit vacant, let it become dilapidated, and presto, your consultant can walk in and say, oh, there's blight there, there's obsolescence, there's vacancy. You know?
Dave, that happens all the time. At some point, keeping up the current property is less valuable valuable in the possibility of letting it run down, kicking out the tenants, tearing it down, and selling it to somebody else. That is a problem in our city, but that's a problem that is exacerbated by putting in a TIF, which raises the possibility to any savvy developer with clout and connections that the public will be subsidizing his deal.
I think that's all we've got time for today, Ben. If our listeners want to see this eligibility report, I'll link to it from the description to this interview at MrRadio.org. Also, you'll find the Montrose-Clarendon TIF District map that we talked about. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
If you'd like to hear more of our interviews, do go to MrRadio.org. There you can find instructions for subscribing to our podcast if you want to receive these interviews automatically, or you could search for us at iTunes. One more thing, if you'd like to ask me or Ben a question that we might be able to answer during our broadcast.
Yeah, take questions.
Please send email to contact@MrRadio.org. And again, you could search on iTunes for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.